من تولى بعد ذلك فأولئك الله سبحانه وتعالى قال ما كان لبشر ان يؤتيه الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوة ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله، ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. It was said that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited the people of the scripture, particularly the Jews, we are aware that they were predominant in Medina. They migrated to Medina for a reason, and that is why Medina, some part of Medina, is included in what they refer to today as the Green Map. They have the Green Map which they have from the New Orleans abundance. They have in mind some part of the Arabian territory which they say by virtue of history belongs to them, and they are going to, they have a future plan of reclaiming those parts of land which will now be adjoining to the present place they have forcibly occupied. Dramatically, they included some parts of Medina and Medina Munawwara in Saudi Arabia. But when the Palestinians intensified their attacks with near tons and locally made weapons, they had no option to abandon that map of theirs and build a wall, a fence between them and them. This is someone that is claiming to even enter into other territories, other countries, and bring together some borders of land. But they have abandoned that by building a fence between them and the Palestinians. You know, this Aqida creep of supremacy, which we spoke about yesterday, which the Jews have, not against only Arabs, any other race that is not Jewish, for them, is a second class. And that is why it was not in them. That was why they said, "Falu leisa alayna fi ummiyina sabil." We can do anything. We can commit any form of atrocity against any other person with a condition that that person must not be us, must not be a Jew. Once they are not a Jew, then it is lawful for them to trespass into your territory. It is lawful for them to take away your belongings. It is lawful for them to commit whatever crime against you once you are not one of them. When they were invited, and you know, before the emergence of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what took them to Medina was because they had all the geographical hints of where the Prophet was going to emerge from. It was elaborately explained to them in their book, with some sort of mathematical precision, to the extent that they were able to locate the geographic setting of where the Prophet was going to emerge. That was because the Quran says they knew him more than the knowledge they have about their own children, although they've not seen him. But because Allah elaborately, so that when they see him, they will be able to what? Identify him. And they did identify him, but when they identified him, what happened? Temporarily. They believed him. After identifying him and knowing that yes, he is the one, some of them even took some practical steps of trying to authenticate that he is the one. They did and they authenticated that he is the one, but still they didn't believe in him. when he were being invited, because they wanted the prophet to be from among them. Allahu ya'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where he places his messenger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Arabs for the final message. So we were overtaken by envy. The envy of the Arabs. Because before the revelation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Arabs used to revere the Jews and used to respect them because they were people of what? Of knowledge. The Arabs believed that these people know what he does. They even have a book. They even resort to them in many things. Whenever they have issues, they go to the chief and ask. So that was the reason why they had this notion of undiluting the Arabs. So when the messenger emerged from them, they said, we are not going to follow the unlearned. So these people that are not learned, we are not going to follow them. And following a prophet from them, amongst the following them, we are not going to believe in that prophet, despite the fact that we know that he is truthfully a prophet of Allah. So when they were being invited to the religion of Allah, one of them was said to have approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, do you want us to worship you alongside Allah like the Christians are worshipping Nabiullah Isa alongside Allah? They told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was one of their tricks. So it embeds guidance. To run away from guidance. To refuse the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on behalf of the Messenger of Allah, responded. She will reply in this verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies them by saying, مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةَ ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ كُونُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. That it is not for any human, but you know, any prophet of Allah, any person, that Allah gives him the scripture. This is a very rare opportunity for you among all the creators of Allah to be choosing and giving message to convey, either as a Nabi or as a Rasul. So for someone whom Allah has so blessed with the message, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated your status above that of every other creator. It means that you have direct link between you and who? And Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to you, if he wishes directly, if he wishes through Jibreel. And he gives you mu'jiza, he gives you the required protection. Allah says it is not for such person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with the scripture, blessed with authority and hukum, when nubuwwah, blessed with prophethood. For someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done all these three for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the scripture, reveals to him, gave him an hukum, gave him authority, gave him prophethood. After all this, ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ كُونُوا عِبَادًا لِي. That such person will still say to the people, be my servant مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, other than being the servant of Allah. So Allah, the scholars of the field say, read was a response to what the Jews said to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, actually, but it is for that person to say, Kunu Rabbaniyin. Kunu Rabbaniyin. Rather, the person will say, be scholars of the Lord. Scholars of the Lord. And Rabbaniyun, that is the scholars that have the fear of Allah. That is what they call an alim al-Rabbani. He is knowledgeable. He is not only knowledgeable, but in addition to the knowledge, he has what? He has the fear of Allah. Because they are two distinct things. You can be knowledgeable, and you don't have the fear of Allah. And that is the most dangerous thing. For someone to be knowledgeable without the fear of Allah. If someone has knowledge and doesn't have the fear of Allah, they'll run away from them. Run away from them. Because they automatically, they are like the Satan. They will be like the agent of the Satan. Because that is the position of the Satan. You have all the knowledge. But he lacks the fear of Allah. And that was why when he was commanded, when they were commanded to prostrate to Nabi Muhammad, he refused. And then he refused. Because he doesn't have the fear of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kunu Rabbaniyin. He's called of the Lord. Bima kuntum tu'allimuna al-kitab. For the fact that you have been teaching the scripture, they were supposed to be the very first set of people that should have accepted what? The message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they did not. They did not. Despite the fact that they had the knowledge, they taught people the scripture containing that knowledge. This is because there is difference between someone who knows and teaching the knowledge, and someone who knows but does not teach the knowledge. بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. For that which you have taught is scholars of the Lord. For that which you knew and have also taught others. وبما كنتم تدرسون. And for that which you have learned. So if a prophet of Allah, if someone claims to be a prophet of Allah and is truly sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely such person is going to invite people to what? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not going to invite people to worship him. There are people today that have no link whatsoever with prophets. In fact, themselves, they are not even claiming prophethood. But they are inviting people to worship them other than Allah. And that is why today you have people who worship human beings like that. You have people who worship human beings like that. Because they've been programmed to worship human beings. They've been programmed to worship human beings. Just of recent, someone proclaimed publicly in a very big gathering. He said, Wallahi, لن أسمح لأحد. إذا imagine the audacity. والله لن أسمح لأحد أن يدخل الجنة قبل طلابي. In a public gathering, an African is not even, you know, there are these white people that they claim to be, they call themselves Shurafa. They claim to be grandchildren of Rasulullah. I think they have links. They are linked to Rasulullah. They are the remaining offspring of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a pure African, a black person. He said, I swear by Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, I am not going to allow anybody to enter the paradise before my children gain access. This is not a drama. The person was serious. That is what he, you know when the Satan leads you to a stage and he is handcuffed. Himself, who has given him himself the guarantee that he is going to ascend the paradise? He said, let Asmaha, he said, wallahi, let Asmaha li ahadin an yadkhul al-jannah qabla tullahi. So, is he directly telling you that you have some authority over what? Over the gender. You have some authority, you can dictate who enters what? The ahadin. Where are the messengers of Allah? Where are the apostles of the messengers of Allah? All of them. Someone here is swearing by Allah. People like that are being worshipped. And for you to sustain the deceit, for people to continue to worship you, you have to make such declarations so that they will believe that, okay, if you are being worshipped, what on the day of Qiyamah, of what help, of what assistance are you going to be? Now his students are going to be proud that on the day of Qiyamah, our Sheikh is not going to allow anybody to enter to have access to the Jannah before us. What about the issue of crossing of the Sirat? That very tiny bridge that each and every one of us is going to cross. And the Messenger of Allah says, then that is one of the situations where everybody, even a day old child, is going to grow gray hair because of fear. And everybody, even the Messenger of Allah, will say, Allahumma la as'aluka illa nafsi. Allahumma sallim sallim. Allahumma sallim sallim. And someone here is saying nobody will accept the paradise except after his own claim has accepted. And there are a lot of people who believe truth. People believe in a lot of human beings like this. They believe they can do, they believe that is what they call kudu. They believe they can change the world, they believe it is what happens in the world. Before Ramadan, about 4-3 months back, it was on the news when someone came to a gathering in a camp, and someone was sitting down, and he was saying, he was attributing the features of Allah to that person, in his presence. And he was saying, wallahi, tallahi, that this person here sitting, sees the Lawul Mahfuz. In Kano here, then he was invited, the Kano State government, one of the things they do is that it's wrong for the government to say, I have nothing to do with the leader. For you to allow people, you just allow some idiots to be misleading the servants of Allah. Then in the name of quality, you turn your eyes away. When he was invited by the commission for the leaders of Beth, and he apologized. And the person who was being praised was also invited, and he denounced
Although he was there, it was in his presence, and people were saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He said a lot of things that cannot be said, that cannot be attributed except to who? Except to Allah. And you are here, Peter. You were not there when he was saying it. You did not reprimand him. They left him with the microphone and he said a lot of stupid things. Attributed almost all the visions of Allah to one carnal man. A carnal man. That person is in his 40s, early 40s. He can do, he can undo, he can. And whenever he says, he says, Wallahi, Allah. That if you do not believe or that this person has this and this, Wallahi, you are not going to enter the paradise. You are a kafir. And the person is sitting there. One of the things I expected that we should have been interrogated, he was, because the West BBC went and other media houses went, they interviewed him, he denounced that person. He said, how could he, that everybody knows that nobody can possess those things that that person was saying. But you were there. You were there. That is one of the attributes of the Mubtadi'un, people of innovation. They don't admonish one another, because if I bring up an innovation today, now, in this field, if there is a scholar, one of the people of innovation, who knows that what I have said is a pure fabrication, he's not going to make any statement. Because if he does, you know why he's not going to attack or ask questions as to the authenticity of what I say? Because he's waiting for his turn tomorrow to fabricate a bigger lie. If they are truly a prophet of Allah, a messenger of Allah, or in here, what we call warakatul anbiya, those who inherited the prophet of Allah, what you do is you call people to Allah, not for yourself. You show people the way to Allah, not the way to yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ رَبَّانِيِّينَ. We said a lot about scholars yesterday. And we said we have to be very careful, particularly this era of ours. There has never been an era where there is proliferation of scholars. Falsely acclaimed scholars like this era of ours. And there are scholars, there are people who in the society we call scholars, but they can't give you fatwa on the activity or otherwise of the evolution. They cannot. If you ask them any question about evolution, they can't give you. But they are still scholars. So what is scholarship in the first place? You can't ask them questions about your scholars. They don't have answers. They can't give you. Talk less of the cat. Talk less of Al-Siyam. Talk less of Afila. But they are still scholars. So what is scholarship? Kunu Rabbaniyin. The Prophet will rather admonish you to be Rabbaniyun, scholars of the Lord. Those who possess knowledge, who possess wisdom, those who are patient when disseminating the knowledge, al-ulama wa hukama wa ulama mu'allimina lin-nasi wa murabbihim, those who teach people knowledge and they train them bi-tirali al-ilmi qabla kibari, they disseminate little knowledge. They start with the foundation of knowledge before proceeding with their students to the bigger knowledge. And in the event, those who work, these are the criteria with which you recognize who is an alim or rabbi, who is an alim or rabbi, who is a scholar that has the fear of Allah, who is a scholar of the Lord. They will be at the forefront of working with what? With the knowledge. If they say it is haram, you will not see them doing it. If they say this is worthy, they will be at the forefront, they will be the first person to do it. That is the assignment. It is not that they are just a encyclopedia of the Quran, of the Hadith, of the sin, of the ulama. They speak Arabic very eloquently. But when you look at the way they dress, when you look at the way they talk, when you look at the way they relate to him, to people, go to Syria, go to Lebanon, go to Egypt, and see repositions of knowledge, encyclopedia of knowledge, specialists, professors in knowledge of Tafsir, professors in the knowledge of Hadith, professors in the knowledge of Qira'at. But when you look at them, you see a senior professor in the knowledge of Tafsir, where Allah reveals the verses of Hijab, but her hair is what? Is uncovered. And she's a professor of Tafsir. So what is the essence of Tafsir? What is the essence? That is not a scholar from whom knowledge should be taken. Because a Rabbani, an alim al-Rabbani, is that scholar that works with the knowledge. It was said that the Bible has an adversary, that a slave came to Imam al-Hassan al-Dhafari and implored him. He said, Imam, my owner is one of those people that revered your teaching. He so much respect you. He likes listening to you. He attends your message for khutbah. I have a request. I want you to please, in your next khutbah, I want you to admonish people on the virtue of bringing their slaves. The reward they will earn from Allah if they free their slaves. The Imam Hassan al-Basri said, inshallah, I'm going to do that. Because this slave wants to be what? To be free. He came to the masjid expecting that Imam Hassan al-Basri was going to deliver a khutbah about the virtue of freeing slaves. And he was seriously hoping that if Imam al-Hassan al-Basri does that, his master, on that very Friday, inshallah, his master was going to what? Was going to free. When he went to the masjid and Imam al-Hassan al-Basri delivered a khutbah on a completely different topic, he said, maybe Imam is still going to do it. He went the next Friday, the Imam delivered khutbah on an entirely different topic. He went another Friday, the Imam delivered khutbah on an entirely different topic. Until when he started giving up, then suddenly, the Imam delivered khutbah on the virtue of freeing slaves. And as was accepted by that servant, by that slave, that very day, the master freed him. But before that, he had started nurturing some grudges with the Imam. After he was freed, he went to the Imam. He went to Imam and asked him about that. But Imam, after how many weeks? Although he was finally free, but he still went to the Imam and said, Imam, after how many weeks?
I came to you, I pleaded with you. You must say, yes, it's not that I have forgotten you, but it is because I wanted to free his sleep before admonishing people to what you say. And I never had the opportunity of doing that. That was what I was making efforts to do within that period of time that you didn't hear any believers or something. I wanted to do it for them, mount the quality and encourage people to what? To do the same. That was how you met. It was reported that Imam al-Bukhari said that his book, his compilation of Bukhari, that he did not write any hadith in that book except that he had implemented the hadith. Sometimes, there are some traditions of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that doesn't present itself for practice. Often, they will try to create a kind to practice it even if it's once in their lifetime. Even if it's once in their lifetime, they think that they read a hadith, they teach their students a hadith. But they have not themselves utilized that hadith. They have not themselves practiced that hadith. Although, scholars say it is not a precondition that when you want to admonish people to do something that you must have by yourself also done that thing. It is not a shock. It is not a condition that you must fulfill before you can invite people, before you can call them to something, before you can discourage them from doing something wrong. They say it is not a precondition. They will say, if two people are engaged in a simple act, that it is compulsory upon both of them to admonish one another to abstain. It is compulsory upon both of them to admonish one another to abstain from that simple act. That if they do not admonish one another, then they have committed another sin in addition to that simple act which they were committing. The sin of not what? Of sin a simple act and not correcting it. That is the additional sin. But the Rabbani Yud, the scholars of the Lord, will go to make sure that they practice that which they are what? Which they are preaching. You know, sometimes if you are an imam, you face the likeness of what the imam has on the doctrine. People will be approaching you, start being given up over here, start being given up over back, and the situation of things may not be okay for the topic. There was a time someone was seriously threatening to give up over on the issue of those things they impose on you if you want to marry your daughter. Those things they will impose on you. You have to bring this, you have to bring that, you have to bring this. There was someone that was extremely that I deliver khutbah on that. Maybe he knows that in the masjid where I deliver khutbah, maybe the prospective in-law brings it. And then, when he was pestering me, following him with calls, seeking to meet me, to say, when the person collected my number, I don't know from where he was calling me, and the person really was serious, he wanted to see me, and I became interested in, you know, sometimes you might not tell whether you are the last person the person wants to listen to. Maybe it is you that will say something and the person will agree. So he wanted to, I never knew what the person was, I was there, I spent my time and fixed appointments, and the next thing was that I wanted to leave up for the issue of marriage, the validity of marriage, and who should stop this, who should stop that. And when I looked at the, something was happening that we needed to talk about. There will be a serious disconnection from the khutbah and the reality. If you go and mount the policies and you start talking about marriage and that people should stop using the tradition, that distance our youth away from marrying and so on and so forth. So I put it, as of now, I don't know my state of indecision. Because up to this moment, I've not been able to do that. But later, I later discovered when I discussed with because I had it on my, because that person, it was a serious thing to him. So I discussed with one of the imams, with whom we share the members, and that, look, I am in a dilemma. Someone said I should deliver a photograph and so and so, but the situation of things will not allow me to deliver such a photograph when there are so and so issues in the society. Then the person might have said, the first person, he said, how does the person do there? And he described the person, he said, the first person has approached me. So meaning the person went after all the imams. One thing that they discussed was, they discussed that topic that bothered him. So those are some of the challenges that come with the new mountain, the conflict. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on behalf of his prophet that it is not for any prophet of Allah to do that, inviting people, and that is what many of the verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haven't known that Nabi Allah Isa never invited these people to worship him. أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ أَنِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّي إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after resurrection, after gathering people, and our own al-Khala'iq, is going to say this to Nabi Allah Isa, that were you the one that told people to worship you and your mother besides Allah? So there it is impossible. So it is impossible for a prophet whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with prophethood to go and invite people to worship him himself other than worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they did not mention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and it is also not possible that he commands you, he orders you, and it takes the malaika to an nabiyina arbaba, that you hold angels and prophets as God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am more bil kufri ba'da id antum muslimun. It is commonsensical that he orders you, the prophet of Allah orders you to disbelieve after you've been Muslim, after you were believers, and that is why the people of the book, those among them who accepted the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the nation of Allah said, they will be rewarded twice. They were the most privileged set of human beings. The most privileged. Why? Because they believe in Nabiullah Musa. Or they believe in Nabiullah Isa. You know those prophets, you know those religions, those messages. They were all Islam, but the Sharia were independent of each other. Because Nabiullah Musa was not sent to everybody. He was sent to who? The Jews. Nabiullah Isa, alayhi salatu wa salam, was also sent to men. So the message of Nabiullah Musa and Nabiullah Isa was restricted to just this set of people. So those of them who believed in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah said they are going to be rewarded twice for believing in the prophet that came before Rasulullah and believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But most of them, despite the fact that they knew that he was the Messenger of Allah, they disbelieved in him. They refused to accept the message. وَإِذْ أَخَرَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين فمن تولى بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون.
الله سبحانه وتعالى قال وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة. Remember when we took the covenant of the messengers of Allah. لَمَا أَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. That what I have given to you of the scripture and wisdom. ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. When afterwards a prophet, a messenger came to you confirming what was with you. لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ. That you must believe in him and you must support him. قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them that do you confirm that covenant that was taken from you and you are holding onto that commitment from me? قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. Their response was that we acknowledge and we confirm. قَالَ فَشْهَدُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, then be witnesses to that acknowledgement. As for the covenant I have taken from you, وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّهِدِينَ. And I am with you as your witness. It was said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant of the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to effect that the scripture and the wisdom given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and single message. Imam Sa'i rahimahullah ta'ala said that this verse is a proof of the fact that all the messengers of Allah, all the messengers of Allah practice the same religion. And that religion is the religion of Islam. There has never been a prophet that practiced a religion other than the religion of Islam. It is just that the Sharia, and that is the saying of Allah, ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ. قَالَ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. Some scholars of Tafsir say this verse is between Allah and the Prophet of Allah. Some other scholars of Tafsir say that it is a reminder to the people of the scripture. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took covenant from his prophet, and the fact that the messages of those prophets are confirmation and acknowledgement of the messages of the prophets that came before them. This is because whenever they are being invited to believe in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are responding has always been that we believe in what was revealed to our prophet. They will say that they believe in what was revealed to their prophet. But they disbelieve in what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. Another prophet came, acknowledging what is with you, that which you are proclaiming to be what you believe in. This prophet whom we have just sent is acknowledging it, is confirming it. And it is compulsory upon you to believe in it. It is compulsory upon you to support him. And when they were asked as to whether they are ready to keep by the covenant, they said that they were they acknowledged and they were ready. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them as witnesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also witnessed the fact that he has taken that promise from them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Faman tawalla ba'da dhalik." This is a threat. That whosoever turns away after that promise of believing in all the prophets. "Faman tawalla ba'da dhalik fa'ula'ika hum al-fasiqun." That those who will turn away from that promise by disbelieving in the prophet, by refusing to support the prophet, that those were the ones who were diligently disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have distanced themselves away from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them with al-fit. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question. أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ يرجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that do they desire a religion other than the religion of Allah? Do they desire a religion other than the religion of Allah? وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah has surrendered what is within the heavens and the earth. So and either willingly, what is within the heavens and the earth are surrendered to Allah. But this act of surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people were divided into two categories. When it comes to surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah means taw'an, willingly. There are among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who willingly surrender themselves to Allah. Will be seen for the pleasure of Allah whenever they are informed that this is the view of Allah, they abide by it. Whenever they were informed that this is the son of Allah, they abstain from it. Willingly, our karhani, or by compulsion. There are some people that surrender to Allah by compulsion. They had no option than to surrender to Allah. وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be their return. They will be returned to Allah. Those who willingly surrender to Allah will be returned to Allah. Those who refuse to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except by way of compulsion, they will also be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of compulsion, how do they do that? Who compels them to surrender to Allah? Scholars say, كلهم منقادون بتسخيره مستسلمون له طوعا واختياريا وهم المؤمنون. Those who surrender willingly, those are the believers. وكرها هم سائر الخلق. Those who surrender by way of compulsion are those who are not the believers. حتى الكافرون مستسلمون لقضائه وقدره. Because even the kuffar, they have surrendered to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a kafir who would have wanted to be an American citizen, who would have wished to be white,
instead of being an African, he's still an African because Allah has decreed that he must be what? He must be an African.
For no matter how much he questions the authority of Allah on how he was made an African, is that going to change the fact that he is still an African? It is not going to change. A kafir, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that he is going to be poor, whether he likes it or not, will still remain what? Will still remain poor. In the case of the Muslim, whom Allah has decreed that he is going to be poor, he is going to surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is rewarded for being patient. Because look, in all of us, we are to be given choice to choose between being wealthy and being poor. Who among us do you think is going to be to choose to be poor? Is there anyone? Maybe there may be those people who are highly pious that will not want anything of this dunya. There is no one that would have chosen to be poor, right? Each and every one of us would have chosen to be what? To be wealthy and rich. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that you be poor, what do you do about that? You surrender to the decree of Allah. You surrender to the decree of Allah. And you be patient. You will not be what? You will not be rewarded. Because you are a believer. That is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فإن أمره كله له خير. Because the situation of the believer, in whatever situation he finds himself, is still in good. Because if it is a situation that pleases, he thanks Allah. If it is a situation that displeases, he is what? He is patient. And he will be rewarded in both situations. Taw'an or karhan. A kafir who has refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that he refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not going to stop the angel of death from taking him away when the time is prescribed by Allah, when he has to be most of exhausted that he is night on the earth. The fact that he disbelieves in Allah is not going to stop the angel of death from taking him away. He's still going to be taken away, and he's still going to be returned to Allah. And he's going to be punished for the fact that he refused to what? He refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was under the decree of Allah. If Allah created him to be black, he has no choice. He cannot change it. Allah created him to be a Nigerian. There are a lot of people who would wish that they were not Nigerians. But can he change it? He cannot change it. That is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the case of the believer, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees upon them, what they do is that they what? They surrender. What they do is that they surrender to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ
قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا
قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا في محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم تأتيه من الله. This is the summary of the creed of the Muslim. We believe in all the prophets of Allah. We believe in all the messengers of Allah. And we don't discriminate between them. We don't discriminate between them. That is why it is an act of kufur. It is an act of kufur for a Muslim to insult any messenger. And this is very important that we give our children this. It is very important that our children understand this. So that when they hear others insulting our prophet, they don't retaliate by insulting other prophets. If they insult a prophet, that is kufr. Any of the prophets of Allah, it is compulsory that you believe in them, because they were sent by Allah. Tell them, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we believe in what was revealed upon us. That is the Quran. وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. We believe in what was revealed upon Ibrahim, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إسماعيل, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إسحاق, عليه الصلاة والسلام, يعقوب, عليه الصلاة والسلام, الأنبياء, the descendants of يعقوب. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى. We believe in what was given to نبي الله موسى. We believe in what was given to Nabiullah Isa. وَالنَّبِيُّونَ بِالرَّبِّهِمْ. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention of these ones, made mention of the names of these prophets and messengers of these, he said, وَالنَّبِيُّونَ بِالرَّبِّهِمْ. And all the prophets of Allah from their Lord. All that was revealed to them, that which we heard about, that which we didn't hear about, that which we know, that which we didn't know, all the messengers of Allah, all the prophets of Allah, that which was revealed to them, the aqidah of the Muslims is that we believe in them. We do not differentiate. We do not discriminate against any one of them. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we are to Allah Muslimun. Those who have surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, scholars of Aqidah say, when we take, for example, you know there are books that are being circulated even today, they call it Zabura. They call it Zabura. But there is no means of authenticating it, whether it is Zabura or not. Then you have the Torah and the Injil, the Old and the New Testament. Are we supposed to believe in that? Despite the fact that the Quran told us that they have adulterated it, they have altered it, they altered those books. Even by themselves today, they label some of those books revised versions. And they will write beneath it the year in which it was what? Revised. They have a permanent committee that does those revisions. That's why some of those books, you see number of verses, but the content of the verses has been what? Deleted. The number is only there. The content, deleted. Are we as Muslims supposed, expected to believe in those books? They say, we do not believe in those books, the book they are carrying today, in the name of Torah and Injil, we do not believe in them. But what is it that we believe in? Because the Quran says, آمَنَّا بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ وَإِسْحَاقِ until it came to Musa and Isa وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. They said, نُؤْمِنُ بِهَا جُمْلَةً. نُؤْمِنُ بِهَا جُمْلَةً. We believe in them generally. Because there are some values that have not been tampered with up till now. There are still some verses that have not been what? Tampered with. But how do we differentiate between the verses that have been tampered with and those that have not been tampered with? We don't have any means of differentiation between them. So what a believer is expected of a believer is to believe that, yes, Allah reveals his book known as what? As Torah. To who? To Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah reveals his book known as Al-Injil. To who? To Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. But this as Torah they are carrying about today, is it the equivalent of the Torah that was revealed to Nabiullah Musa? Definitely it is not, because by the text of the Quran itself, the Quran says that they have altered, they have adulterated it. The Injil they are carrying about today, is it the same thing as the one that was revealed to Nabiullah Musa? Definitely it is not, because the Quran told us that they have altered it. So what is expected of us is to believe in those books, jumla 10, generally. By believing that, yes, there was a book revealed to Nabiullah Musa, the book is known as the Torah. There is a book revealed to Nabiullah Musa, the book is known as the Injil. There is a book revealed to Nabiullah Ibrahim, they were known as Suhuf Ibrahim. And Suhuf was also revealed to Nabiullah Musa as part of the Torah. So a movement is expected to believe in real generally, in addition to believing in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, someone says, I believe in Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I do not believe that prophet, so prophet, I do not believe. Then you cannot be truthful in your belief of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you disbelieve in social and so prophet, you cannot single out a prophet to disbelieve in him and claim to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by way of implication, you must believe in all other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what is the difference between you and the Christians and the Jews? If you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you disbelieve Isa or Musa or whichever prophet among the prophets on the earth, there's no difference between you and the Christians and the Jews, because they believe in Nabiullah Musa, but they disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why they are kuffar. You cannot believe in Nabiullah Musa and disbelieve in Muhammad and be a believer. Just like you cannot believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and disbelieve any of the messengers of Allah and remain a believer. You cannot. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ Whosoever desire a religion other than the religion of Islam, other than the religion of Islam, this part is one of those parts of the Quran that Muslims, many Muslims, have become apologetic about proclaiming. They have become apologetic about proclaiming. If you are not a Muslim, you are a kafir. There is no fear about it. We should stop this hypocrisy. If you are not a Muslim, then your name is a kafir. If there is any other name which the Sharia calls you, there is nothing wrong in calling you Nasara, there is nothing wrong in calling you Yahudi, there is nothing wrong with that. But the end result is what? It's kufur. It's kufur. There is this campaign that is almost getting the ground, that it is wrong for you to declare that some people will go to hellfire because they are not of the same religion with you. Is that not hypocrisy? That is hypocrisy. So Christians, in the creed and belief of the Christians, we Muslims, what are we? What are we afraid of saying? We are kuffar, we are disbelievers. So then are we not? We are disbelievers. We are disbelievers, we have to accept that we are disbelievers. Are we not disbelievers? Yes, we are disbelievers because we disbelieve in what they believe. We disbelieve in what they believe. So us, they are what? Disbelievers. The hypocrisy should stop. And if for them we are disbelievers, if for them we are disbelievers because we are not Christians, on the day of resurrection, what is going to be our result? What is going to be our end? Are we still going to be accommodated in the same paradise with them who are believers? It means to them we will be going to wait. To empire. That is not the resultant effect of our belief, of our faith. Let's accept it. To us, they are disbelievers. If they die without accepting the religion of Islam, where are they going? They are going to the empire categorically. That is what I believe in. I shouldn't be apologetic about that. If he says that about me, that is what he believes in. If he says that about me, I will just say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you so that you may see the light. I can't do all of that. But I can't stop him from saying that I will go to hellfire, because that is his creed. So he should not stop me from, because the Quran says they will be going to the hellfire. So I should be twisting the verses of the Quran so that they will be happy. And they are still saying, I cannot be invited to the kingdom of God because I did not believe in what they believe in. So they should be twisting it so that I will be happy. Don't make me happy. Lakum dinukum. Faith are the chief in your religion, because if you deceive yourself and you refuse to say it as it is in your religion, I will say it as it is in mine. Because I cannot close my eyes for the verses of the Quran that refers to you as cavil, that says that whosoever violates your covenant name, it is never ever going to be accepted from you. That is what Allah says. And you are saying, and people will be saying, it is wrong for you to say, because someone does not worship, if someone does not believe in your religion, the person is going to hellfire. What do you expect me to say? Are you sure the person is going to paradise? So the paradise belongs to my father that I will invite everybody to be. Allah that owns the paradise says that it is only those who practice Islam that will be invited to the paradise. He wants me to please you so that you will be happy. In the name of peaceful coexistence, yes, that has nothing to do with peaceful coexistence. That is pure hypocrisy. We were on a radio program with someone a few years back, and when the election was approaching, and they invited a pastor and invited me that we discussed the issue of election, religion related, and I was being polite in trying not to be blunt and at the same time be polite so that I don't offend the conscience of the pastor. But this guy, when he came to his turn to talk, he said, Barista now, in my belief, Barista is a disbeliever. I said, okay, you have opened the door. So when he finished, from then till the end of that discussion, it was his believer that I was inviting to him. It was his believer. There's nothing wrong with that. I shouldn't be offended because that is his belief. And that is why even if, you know, because of the sensitivity of what we call religion, that is why Allah says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِهِ. Look at it. Because if someone says, someone that worships cow now, I think you will ask in India that they kill people, they kill five people, because some people will be passing by and they will see the feces of what? Of cow. And indicated of the fact that what happened? A cow was slaughtered in this house. So you thrown the death there. They will come and burn the house because you kill one of their own. Religion is a very sensitive thing. And I now say, don't insult what people worship other than Allah. If someone goes to the market and buys a beautiful cat and says this is his God, don't insult that cat. Because that cat now is not an ordinary cat. It is not because Islam acknowledges that religion of someone worshiping a cat.
But because Islam is protecting the dignity, integrity, and the high status of Allah. If you insult the cat, what happens? He insults Allah. So you have now caused someone to insult Allah. But it is not that Islam respects or Islam gives any value in that is why you say la ilaha illallah. You confirming that there is nothing other than Allah that is entitled to be worshipped. But when you think about worshiping a stone, don't go to that stone and throw there or insult the stone. Because the person will now start for, okay, you are you a Christian or a Muslim? If you say a Muslim, you will now insult who? So what have you achieved? That is why Islam says don't do that. So that you don't be the cause why Allah is insulted. You don't be the cause why Allah is insulted. Because religion is sensitive. So what do you do in such a certain situation? You try to call this person to Islam. You pray that Allah guide him. You try to invite him to Islam. Not you insulting the God you worship, then you build friends between you and the person. But this hypocrisy of things that we are neighbors, we work in the same place, we are friends, and we belong to the same profession, and because of that, everybody is going to have a good day. We need only to do this movie in Allah. Because Allah says, woman, you are telling me about Islam in Dina, whosoever one idiot, right, there in the southwest, says, you see, I am a Muslim, my wife is a Christian, in the day of the resurrection, whichever way is good, if it is in Islam, I will go with my wife. Mm-hmm. If it is Christianity, my wife will go with me. That is not a Muslim. That is not a Muslim. Because it means that you are sitting on the edge. You are not sure. So you are yet to be a believer. You know, the iman is not there in you totally. The iman is not there in you totally. But even verified race, we can still be neighbors, we can still be friends, we can still work in the same workplace, we can buy from one another, we can sell to one another, we can be good for them. Islam made it obligatory upon us to be good for them. If Islam has made it obligatory upon us to be good for animals, what our human needs? So let's adopt that idea of lakum dinukum waliyadin. When it comes to religion, let's do it different. Human religion, okay. Religion, I won't participate in what you do. You won't participate in what I do. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. Allah says, فَلَنْ يُقُبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. It is not going to be accepted from him. Whatever practice any religion or that, it is not going to be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, that person is going to be among the losers. So the Quran is saying the person is going to be among the losers. And you want me to be sweet talking them? You want me to sweet talk them so that they will be clean? No. This is religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness for the religion of Islam till the day we return to him. Wallahu ta'ala. Are you
Abuja Imam, based on the section of Mojo.
what it takes to bring a slave is for you to be in the possession of one. It's for you to own one. If you own one, you can what? You can free. But it is apparent that today there are no slaves. Yes. So if you, the Imam Hassan Basri was making efforts to relieve one of his slaves, or making efforts to buy one and what? And free. To buy one and free. That is what it takes to free a slave. Concerning the, you said what is the position of what? I wanted to say, the normal body will have been the president, the person that has been the but what is the position of the Sharia? Wallahi, I've not had the opportunity of listening to everything he said. The chairman of the committee says that the Khutbah negates the teaching of Islam. But I've seen some female clips that people were saying that was the reason he was suspended. In any case, we have to understand that there is truth and there is an appropriate method of conveying the truth. There is truth and there is an appropriate method of conveying the truth. There is a way you can convey the truth, say what is right, without making it personal. In his issue, what I suspected is that his suspension is beyond that, just that number of David Boyette. He has accumulated pronouncements. He has accumulated statements. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. As human beings, and for someone who mingles with a politician a lot, he is very likely to fall into that. There are a lot of politicians here and there that he is of the PDP extraction, the 20 when this one came up, we don't know, I stopped counting there yet. When did when in 2015, it has become a trend, this tone of Khutbah, because his hiding has lost the hold of government and a lot of other things. It is lawful Islamically to caution or even suspend an imam if there is reason for that. But for those of us who have the opportunity of mounting the conflict, we have to be very careful so that because these people, their politics, their power matters to them more than any other thing. So as he died, what are you going to gain if you go into confrontation with the authority and you truncate your dawah and put your dawah to a halt? What have you gained then? What have you gained? Have you died? What have you gained? If the whether rightly or wrongly imprisoned you, what they will just do is to arraign you on some counts and you be subjected to application for bail, and before you know it, you spend months and years in prison for no just cause, for example. So what is the essence of that? If you become confrontational and the authorities now truncate your activities of that. So we have to apply wisdom and weigh between the maslaha of our da'wah, because those two, they have maslaha. Their maslaha is their power. Their maslaha is their power. And it is not necessary that Buhari is even aware that an imam was suspended. It is not necessary. There are good soldiers. There are people who are very sensitive concerning this. They are protectors of the power. They are protecting the power and the image of the power. Although it happens, yes, it happens, but there are other means, there are other ways. He wasn't the only person that spoke about that on the Nimbat. He wasn't the only one that spoke about that on the Nimbat. And at the time, for scholars, we have to be very, very careful. We have to understand that politicians, revere and protect their power more than any other thing. Any other thing to them is what? It's secondary. Once you understand this, then you will be guided in your approach to issues. There are times where statements like the one Sheikh Noor Akar is made will be made. An even stronger statement will be made and nothing will happen. But that this is not the time. This is not such time. This is not such time that such statement will be made. You know, when elections are approaching, someone that has a huge followership, huge listeners, no politician will dare touch him, because that is going to affect. It's going to affect a lot of us, but because they are putting on very, very well, we forget very easily. Now it's just almost 1 year, 1 year and few months to election, right? To general election. So in the next 6 months, every one of us will have forgotten that there used to be one Sheikh Noor Akar in Apo Jumatwa. We forget. And this same politician who might have offended us by suspending an imam that says what we all knew that was the reality, these same politicians will still come to us, and they have their strategies of diverting our attention, and we will still be busy between ourselves starting for who to vote for among them. So, in a nutshell, what we are supposed to do is just among them is that we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our du'as, protect our scholars, because this is a new trend now. This is almost the first, this can also be the first criteria, right? That a scholar will be suspended. Alhamdulillah, is only suspended. It's only suspension. It's not from the pulpit to the prison. We pray that the first time is not what will not come. Will not,
we talk about praying the prayer in time of Imam Hassan. Does it mean that the way of sleep has like the era of the
enlightenment of Imam Hassan was a contemporary of Sahaba, the next of Sahaba. So it wasn't that far from the era of Rasulullah. And today we even have there is a new form of slave trade that is happening today. Buying and selling of human beings. Buying and selling of apart from the ones that child traffickers, different traffickers does, buying and selling of these footballers. They price them, sell them, buy them. You might not also a new form of slavery. Yes, but it outlived the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the demise of Rasulullah, they were still slaves for a very long period of time. But Islam achieved what it set out to achieve as the emergence of the religion of Islam, that is doing away with what? Slavery. Islam achieved it, and that is why today you can hardly point at someone, except in these our traditional houses. There are people who even refer to themselves as slaves because of what they will do. They will tell you that they are slaves of the area. This is wrong Islamically. It is wrong Islamically. Someone will tell you that I am a slave of the area. So slave from where? And which war was he captured? Or from which slave market was he bought or sold? So there are no slaves in reality. But slaves, they were sent even after the demise of the war. In the absence of any other person, we are going to proceed.
Thank you.